All right. The last couple of weeks, I've been sharing the importance of understanding that we're in a fight, and that life is going to have fights. There's going to be fights that we're going to be engaged in throughout life, but it's important that we understand the nature of the fight, and also that we're equipped to engage in the battle, in the fight. And I read an excerpt from Trina Hankins' book a couple of weeks ago. That really just kind of spurred this message. She says some people are like the man who had a hole in his roof and didn't see the need to fix it because it wasn't raining. When it did begin to rain, it was too late. He had waited too long and couldn't fix it. Don't wait until you need healing to get grounded in faith for healing. Instead, build your faith up so that when the evil day comes, you will stand and keep standing. And of course, talking about difficult things is not most people's favorite topic thing to talk about. But they don't like to even hear that there might be an evil day. They just want to say, oh, everything's going to be great. We're never going to face challenges in life. But that's unrealistic because Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because he's already laid the groundwork for us to walk in complete victory. So, over evil days are going to come to everybody just as much as it's going to rain someday. But you don't wait until the evil day comes to start getting grounded. And whether it's, we get challenged in so many areas, but it seems like the areas we're most often challenged in as human beings are our health, our finances, the relationships we're involved in. Most things fall under those three areas. Even I suppose some people are even challenged in their faith, what they, where their walk is, they're being challenged with that. But the question isn't, are we going to face challenges? The question really is, are we ready to face them? And what are we doing to be prepared for them? It would be like the person who never prepares for their later years in life. And then when they come, they have a mess on their hands. They're not prepared. We need to be prepared for these different times that come. And so are we preparing? What are we doing to prepare for the battles that the enemy is going to try to bring across our paths? So, we see the concept of the faith of the fight throughout the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. It tells us to be strong and to put on the whole armor of God. Well, you don't need armor if you're not going to fight, if you're not going to be engaged in a fight. So it brings out the whole concept of the armor of God. And it tells us that the reason we put on this armor is so that we can stand. So that leaves us, that begs the question then, if we haven't put on the whole armor of God, and twice in that passage it talks about putting on the whole armor, taking the whole armor. If we haven't taken the whole armor, if we haven't put on the whole armor of God, will we stand? Because it tells you, having done all to stand. So, sometimes when we're faced with a challenge in life, we have to stop and ask, have I done all to stand in this situation? Have I been prepared? Have I fed on what God's word promises me about this area of my life, whether it's your physical health, physical challenges that come along, whether it's your financial well-being, your marriage? People always, we have people balk about coming to our marriage seminar, and it always cracks me up, but we're not having any problems in our marriage. That would be like saying, I'm going to wait till there's a hole in my roof and then I'm going to go up and fix it when it starts raining. We don't have marriage seminars because people have troubled marriages. We have them to reinforce and undergird people in the area of their marriages. So, and why not wait? Why not wait until the problem gets here? Because it's very difficult to stand and be in faith when you're under the pressure that those symptoms and challenges bring. When you're constantly barraged by physical pain or a sudden thing that happens to you, an accident, or financially you get hit with something unexpected, all hell breaks loose against you and everything's breaking down and wearing out at the same time. That isn't the time to start trying to build your faith. That's a time to be able to dig down in and pull out the pieces of armor that you need to be able to wear, because those things can produce a certain amount or degree of natural unbelief. And that natural unbelief is difficult to deal with. It takes a very strong, very committed, strong believer to be able to deal with those things when they come. So it's best to be prepared. It's just best. I know nobody wants to hear that, we may be faced with challenges, but it is best, always best, to be prepared. So I had shared that back a couple weeks ago after the class, one of the classes I had shared at, one of our members came up to me and was just sharing with me that the military's mantra is train hard, fight easy. And I thought, boy, if that shouldn't be the Christian's mantra, I don't know. Because that's really what we're talking about here, is training hard so that the fight can be easy, because our fight isn't a hard fight. It's the training part that is where we expend or spend most of our time training and being prepared. So train hard, fight easy. And I think that's especially applicable to the Christian life, because what soldier waits to train until he gets in the heat of the battle? Nobody. No soldier waits until he's out on the battlefield. In fact, I love, you know, we just watched a movie. It was a little rough around the edges. It was Olympus Has Fallen. I think it was, isn't that the name of it? Good movie, good movie. But, you know, I'm always so impressed by, when you watch these guys, especially these special services guys that trained, and you see how it just seems like it just comes so naturally to them. Well, it doesn't come naturally. That's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of grueling hours of work and training. It seems like it's just effortless, the things that they do when they're under pressure like that, and they just seem to know exactly what to do, and everything just kind of clicks in. Well, that's representative of thousands and thousands of hours of grueling training. And no soldier waits until he gets out there. You know, he has spent time in rigorous training. He's tested his weapons. He's engaged in some kind of war games. That's what makes him so proficient when it comes to actual battle. You know, we talked a little bit about David last week, and how David refused Saul's offer of using his armor because he hadn't tested it. He hadn't proven it. He was much more comfortable with his sling and his staff because he had proven them. He had worked with them. He knew that they worked for him. And he also understood who he was. He understood that he was in covenant with God. And he knew that his enemy, Goliath, was not in covenant with God. And so he knew he had the upper hand, even though he was just a mere lad. I suppose you could say he was like a young teenage boy in comparison to this giant of a man. It would be like taking one of the little ot kids and putting, you know, one of the little boys and putting him up against Chris Rudd and saying, fight with him. You know, that would be about the right comparison size-wise. You know, it could be pretty daunting, couldn't it? but David understood that it didn't matter how big Goliath was. He wasn't thrown off by the size of the problem. And I'd like to consider the fact that would that story have been recorded had Goliath been a little person, a dwarf or something? No, it's because the challenge was so huge, but David didn't see it that way. He didn't evaluate Goliath according to his size. He evaluated Goliath according to the fact that Goliath had no covenant with God, but that he did have a covenant with God. And so the size of the problem never matters. We have to know who we are. We have to understand that we're in a covenant with God. And he understood who he was. He understood who his enemy was. So we need to be able to evaluate the challenges we face too in the light of our relationship to God, that we're in covenant with God. And the challenges we face, the obstacles we face in life, are at a disadvantage because they have no covenant with God. They're out of God's will. And so we have the advantage. And so nothing is too big to overcome for a believer because of that covenant with God. So we need to have a realistic perspective of ourselves, but we also need a realistic perspective of our enemy. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 again here for a minute. In verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So this is telling us the nature of the battle that we're engaged in. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. And I know sometimes it seems like that we are. Sometimes it seems like it's people problems that we're dealing with, or even physical symptoms, like we're fighting the physical symptoms, but we're really not. We're really not dealing with flesh and blood. We're not really not fighting devils. You know, I hear people want to fight with the devil. You don't have to fight with the devil. He's been defeated. What are we fighting? We're not fighting the devil. We're not fighting physical things. We're fighting beliefs and systems of beliefs. That's really what we're fighting. Our real battle is with beliefs and systems of beliefs. I was talking with somebody at our anniversary celebration, who was dealing with facing some serious health issues. And they're not in our church. There's somebody that goes to another church. And I asked them, I said, well, are you open to the message of healing? Well, yeah. And the and I thought, wow, there's a belief system there that's out of whack, that's completely out of whack. That is a system of beliefs. And this person, the church they go to, I don't know the church. I know the type of church it is, and I know that they don't teach the full gospel there. So whatever your system of beliefs is going to determine the outcome of the battle. And you could even be in a Word of Faith church and still have a wrong system of beliefs, because it's up to us to get our minds renewed. So we do the best we can to deliver things that will help us get our minds renewed, but we still have to choose to believe them. You know, we could sit out, hear messages on faith and healing and financial prosperity, and we could, and still choose to live the other way, still choose to do it our own way. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against systems of beliefs, really. You know, I know it says principalities and powers. It makes it sound like it's devils, 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 but Jesus already defeated the devil. So that's one belief we have to make sure we understand, that we're not fighting the devil. The devil may be the source of what's attacking us, but how does he attack? He first comes here. He first attacks us in the area where our beliefs are. So the real battle with the enemy takes place between our ears. And so if we haven't trained hard, that we will not find that fight an easy fight. The only way the fight can be easy is if you've trained hard. So if you haven't trained hard, when the enemy comes with the lies, you're not going to get healed this time, this is serious, this is really bad, you're not going to get the money this time it's going to be a divorce, whatever. Those are the types of things the enemy will start to seed and to sow into your mind. If you haven't trained hard, you will not find that an easy fight. Because what you'll try to do is you'll try to go to natural human reasoning to fight that battle. And that's not what's going to win that battle. You know, when I was a young girl, I trained in classical piano. And I hated recitals. I just hated them because I was such a chicken to get up on that stage in front of people. And then what does God do? You know, he chooses you to be in public speaking. And it's ironic. But, you know, we practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced the piece that you're going to play at a recital. And what would happen, that practicing, is it got to the place that when you got up to actually play a piece in a recital, you almost didn't need to engage your brain. It was like your hands had a mind of their own. And, I mean, I just found that absolutely fascinating. But I think that's kind of what we're talking about here, is we're talking about the Word of God being so built into us that when it comes to the battle, because we've trained hard, when it comes to the battle, it just flows naturally out of us. We don't have to try to remember, now, what did Pastor say about this? Or what did Brother Doug Jones teach about this? I know I heard a tape at some point, or I know I read a book at some point. If it isn't in there, if we haven't trained hard and packed it in and renewed our minds and developed a proper belief system, we're not going to find that fight easy. It's going to be a hard fight. Now, I'm not saying that the symptoms may not linger or the financial need might not linger, but you'll have peace in the midst of that. You'll have peace. You'll be able to just go on with your life and not fret or not have anxiety because you've trained hard, and that fight becomes an easy fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Again, so many of these scriptures bring out this thought. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. How can any fight be a good fight? Well, if you've trained hard, it can be a good fight. It's a good fight, but it's a fight of faith. We're not fighting symptoms. We're not fighting sickness. We're not fighting lack. We're not fighting strife or fear. We're not fighting depression or anger. We're not fighting those things. We're fighting a system of beliefs is where the battle is fought. It's what do you believe? What are you engaging in your thought life? That's where the fight is. The struggle, the labor is one of faith. It's one of beliefs. And the training, the purpose for the training hard is to change that core system of beliefs that you have. If you came out of a background, religious background, where you're told it was God's will for you to suffer sickness so that you could, you know, be taught something, or so that because you deserved it, it was sort of your, you know, you're reaping what you sowed. I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine that's going through some things, and she said, I just don't can't think we're reaping what we sowed. I just can't think that that's what this is. And I said, well, did you sow it? You know, people focus so much on the reaping side that if they're reaping something or if they're experiencing something in their life, they obviously sowed it somewhere. Well, I have to ask, well, did you sow that? First of all, you can't reap what you didn't sow. So in that case, it wasn't a reaping and sowing. It was an attack. It was just an attack. But there are times when we have sown, intentionally sown, we can expect to reap that. Amen. But there's sometimes the enemy just comes against us with attacks. And we have to know how to fight that. We have to know how to fight that. And if we haven't trained hard, that fight's not going to be an easy fight. We're going to try to fight it in the strength of our own brain power, or we're going to fall back to our natural abilities to try to deal with that. Sometimes they're just way beyond that. So fight the good fight. He said, I've fight a good fight. And then in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. You know, he said, I fought the good fight. I fought it. Now, how could you say it's a good fight? Because it's an easy fight. Easy doesn't mean there's no emotions involved or that it wasn't difficult on your flesh. Okay, I'm not saying that. Why is it a good, easy fight? Because someone else really won that battle already for you. And you're just in there mopping up. That's basically what we're doing. We're just in a mop-up crew. And so Paul says, I fought the good fight. That word fought means to agonize. You know, sometimes it's hard work to train. It's hard work to get your books out and to sit down and to feed on the word and to study and meditate in the word. Sometimes that is just hard work. And it takes some diligence. But he said, I finished my race. I've kept the faith. You know, each one of us has a race to run or a course to run, and it's unique to each one of us. None of us have the same course. None of us has the same race, the same lane necessarily to run in. But there's one thing that's true across the board, and that's that we all have to develop a system of beliefs. We all are going to have that system of beliefs in place, and that requires the work. That's where the work is. You know, we say, well, faith is a rest. Well, yes, it is. But you still have to labor to enter into that rest. The labor is in preparation. Don't wait until it's raining to fix the hole in your roof. Don't wait until the catastrophe or the challenge comes to get your systems of beliefs in place. Get them in place now, because the rainy day is coming. Oh, don't say that. That's a bad confession. No, that's a fact of life. That's just a fact of life. So we have to develop and maintain these systems of belief, and that is some work. And sometimes even when you're in the midst of the battle, sometimes casting down imaginations and dealing with the thoughts or the emotions that might accompany that challenge can be kind of agonizing. But let's make sure we're ready for it. And I think in reality, I think a lot of people would just rather have minimal training or train easy and have no fight at all. Right? We just want life to be easy. We just want to breeze right through it with no challenges whatsoever. And so some people live their life that way, so they're not ready. They train easy. In other words, they don't do much of anything. They come to church on Sunday, maybe once in a while on a Wednesday night. They show up with their Bible, but then their Bible's in their back seat or their passenger seat all week long. That's about the only time it gets cracked open is, or their phone Bible app, let's include that, gets turned on is on Sunday. That isn't training hard. That's training easy. That isn't training hard at all, because you have to work at this to get those systems developed. You have to do this. You have to get a system of beliefs in place so that when those attacks come, you know how to fight, and the fight isn't going to be a grueling fight. It's going to be an easy one. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic word spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. That's the New Living Translation. Now, Paul understood that the battles, the real battles that we are going to face are ones of beliefs. It's going to be a battle of beliefs. And he understood that the purpose of the word was to form beliefs. We've been taught that. What is the purpose for the word is to form beliefs? What's the purpose for our beliefs? To govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. So that's what the nature of the battle is. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're just looking at scriptures that all imply that we're going to be engaged in battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Again, that goes back to Ephesians 6:12. Not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. So again, I believe this gives us another key of the nature of the kind of fight we're engaged in, that it's not a carnal fight. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting a battle of beliefs here. He says, casting down imaginations. He's talking about fighting, but he says casting down imaginations. So it's our weapons aren't carnal. They're not natural. They're not physical. They're not fleshly. They're not temporal. They're mighty through God, our weapons. They're mighty through God. And what do? You have to cast down imaginations. Now, I thought it was really interesting. I looked up the definition of this word, casting down. It means to take down, to tear down, to destroy. But I love this one the best, to dethrone. And I thought, you know, how interesting is that? To think about thoughts or beliefs being on a throne in our life. How many of us have certain belief systems that are on a throne? And boy, it's hard to let those things go if they're wrong. And so if we're going to live the victorious life that's already been purchased for us, we're going to have to choose to dethrone our thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts, whether it's healing or about financial prosperity or about how to live, get along well with other people. But the one thing that I find very encouraging is it says that these things are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, not only is it possible for us to take our thoughts captive, but the weapons God's given us are designed specifically for the express purpose of casting down imaginations and bringing thoughts into obedience. In other words, you're not a victim of your thought life. You don't have to think that way. You don't have to sit there and take a beating by your thoughts, the types of things the enemy is going to bring to you. We have been equipped with the weapons that are required to take every thought captive. And again, that's developing belief systems that enable us to do that. And make your thoughts obey. Make them obey. Is that an easy thing sometimes? It's not that it's physically difficult. It's just that it takes commitment and consistency. When a symptom is plaguing your body, it just takes commitment. Or when you're facing some kind of need, it just takes commitment to continue to hold fast to the profession of your faith. And not to dig it up. You know, one minute we're talking about how God's blessed us and how we're healed. And then the next minute we're talking the opposite. What are we going to do? I'm afraid. You know, oh, this hurts. Oh, this is bad. I want everybody to know how bad it is. You know, what are we going to hold fast to? See, we have to choose to dethrone some things. Sometimes we just need to dethrone the desire to have somebody pat us and tell us it's going to be okay. Now, it's wonderful to get encouragement. But I'm telling you what, I want God's encouragement. Amen. That nothing works like God's encouragement does. So we've got to dethrone some beliefs, some thoughts and beliefs that have been on the throne and maybe that have been on the throne most of our lives, the way we react to situations. Maybe we get into a situation that's a little tense with somebody and we react a certain way all the time. Why is that? Because we have a belief system on the throne there. And whatever's on the throne is going to have power over you. So it's just like, you know, the king, he has power, doesn't he? So whatever's on the throne of your thought life in that area is what's going to have power. So we have to choose to cast those things down. We have to choose to destroy them. We have to choose to dethrone them. Here's some other translations here in the New International. It says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The Message says we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by God. Isn't that interesting? The message brings in the concept of emotions and impulses, because emotions can be so difficult. You know, most of you know this is my last week at August Ash, and when I'm not at August Ash, I so look forward to being done, because I know that there's so many things that I'm going to be able to do again that I haven't been able to do. But when I'm there, like the other day when I was leaving, I pulled the door closed behind me. I felt really bad. It's like, I only have a couple more days left. And I was feeling really bad about that. And I realized the power of emotions there. Even though sometimes you know what the right things is to do, you know the steps that you're supposed to take, emotion can play a huge part in trying to sway us. And so this is bringing that out. This is fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. So, you know, having our mind stayed on the Lord, having our mind stayed on the right things, even in the midst of difficulty, is possible. It is possible, but it takes discipline. We have to choose to continue to believe the right way, even in the midst of a difficult time. That circumstance is not the truth. Sometimes when we're facing something difficult, it's very tempting to think, well, what if this is the way it's supposed to be? What if this is just the outcome that I'm going to experience? What if this has to be, okay, sarah, sarah, that kind of thing? No, God is not a man that he should lie. God's word we have to settle it once and for all that in all areas of our life, God's word is going to be the final authority, whether it feels like that or not, whether it feels like that could be the truth. How could that look at the world, look at the way the world is going, and look at the way people believe. And could we be right? Yeah, we're right, because this has stood the test of time. People have built their lives on this. So it is the truth. And we have to decide once and for all that that's the way we're going to live. So Ephesians, going back to Ephesians chapter 6 again, when he talks in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God, he talks about having our loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, all of those things. Do you see what that is? The whole armor, again, is representative of a system of beliefs. You know, we can't just study our favorite topic. We can't just get grounded on, I'm just going to get grounded in righteousness. That's all that matters is to me, to know who I am, just to know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No, we need to have a system in place. We need to have a system of beliefs in place. And I believe that's what this is an allegory for here, that this is a system. It's the whole armor of God. But, you know, that armor won't protect you hanging in the closet. It won't protect you sitting on your Bible, won't protect you. The word won't benefit you sitting on your coffee table or in your passenger seat or in your back seat or in your backpack or in your phone thing, you know, your little phone carrier. It's not going to protect you. You have to do something with that armor. You have to put it on. And then you have to train hard with it. Why? So that when the fight comes, not if, but when the battles come, you can fight easy. The battle will not be an intense labor. It will be an easy fight because you've trained hard. I think the hardest part is the training, because it takes discipline. You know, just takes discipline to get your Bible out and to get your study books out or your study software out and just put the word in. Spend time meditating on it. And what does that say? Do it day and night. If you do it day and night, then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That means even in a battle, you'll have good success. If you've meditated, if you've spent the time, if you've paid the price, if you've put the time in, if you've trained hard. I'm going to close with reading the Message Bible here. It says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use. So you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. So again, this is the train hard part. It's putting the word in, spending time in the word. If you consistently are fighting a fight on a certain plane, then you know what? Get studying in that area. If you're fighting on the financial plane consistently, then get the word out. There are lots of tools out there. There's books that, you know, topical studies that you can do for every single area of your life. Study the scriptures, study the cross references. That is not a mentally challenging thing to do, honestly. It's an easy thing. That's an easy thing to do, to get those books out. The hard part is the commitment side. The hard part is the discipline. That's the hard part, is being disciplined enough to do it every day, to spend time in there every day. But you know, you might say, well, why bother? Why, you know, because that's when the fight comes, then the fight is an easy fight. That's what makes the fight easy, because you have equipped yourself. And then you can be strong when those things come. It's hard on your flesh. That's hard on your flesh to do that, because our flesh would rather do something else. Our flesh would rather be entertained. Our flesh would rather do all kinds of other things. But you know what? That's the hard part. That's the training hard part. And of course, then the other hard part is to let go of your thoughts, to dethrone your thoughts. Sometimes you've thought a certain way for so long. Has that ever happened to you, when you've been just going along your merry way and all of a sudden you realize that you've been thinking a certain way about something that is completely wrong? Now, come on, say yes, because it should be happening to all of us. It's called mind renewal. And you're just amazed that you even believed that. Now, it might not be anything just diabolically wrong, but it's just something that has affected your ability to flow in that system of beliefs. That should be happening. When we're spending time meditating in the Word, we're getting brainwashed. You know, it's washing not our brain physically, but our mind is being renewed and changed. And belief systems are being dethroned, and new ones are taking its place. And it's amazing how it begins to change the course of your life, the choices you make. And so it's just a discipline. It is a discipline, and that's hard on our flesh. That's really where the hard training comes. It's hard on our flesh. It's hard on our flesh to purpose to live this kind of life. You know, it's easy to gripe. It's easy to complain. It's easy to worry. It's easy to get in fear. All of those things are easy. It's easy to do that. It's easy to be depressed and to feel sorry for ourselves. I know, I've been there. That is so easy to do. What it takes courage to stand up against those things and to refuse them. But you can't do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. You have to do it in the power of His might. Amen. All right. Glory to God.